Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
Need another big third down conversion. Meyer looking to throw. Fires deep down the left side for Blythe, and he has the catch. Tiptoeing the sidelines. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Todd Blythe, his fourth of the day.
Unbelievable.
All right, welcome in. Episode 12 of the Meyer to Blythe podcast. I'm your host, Brett Meyer, joined as always. I'm a co-host, number one, Todd Blythe. Todd, what's going on?
Doing well, quarterback. How are you?
Name's Brett, but it's fine. You can call him whatever you want. What's going on down there? I see you guys. You guys finally. You're gonna start wearing a mask now? I'm kidding. You're not
gonna do that. Well, unlike some people, I've been wearing a mask for a long time now. But yes, it's finally took. You know, a quarter of a million people have passed away from COVID. And our governor has finally decided to mask mandate.
I know. We've just angered a few of our listeners. I know we're not going to get into it like that, but
Let's talk politics.
So. No, it's topical, man. COVID is reared its ugly head again. So we'll see. Hopefully, everyone out there is staying safe and healthy and has their responsible family plans ahead for Thanksgiving. I know we're trying to alter and adjust ours a little bit and just have Karina's sister, my wife Karina, her sister and her husband and their little one Miles will come over and hang out, and I'll do a turkey and we'll hang out and keep it low key and a lot smaller than it usually is. But everyone out there is just safe and healthy and mentally in a good place and physically in a good place, and we're all smart and we can kind of sacrifice this year for Thanksgiving. What do you think, Todd?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're doing similar things. We're kind of trying to figure out what we're going to do with my side of the family and my wife Britt's as well. Just trying to be smart about it. But I mean, it's getting bad down here. My wife works in healthcare. She's a nurse practitioner. Obviously, Brett, you and I both kind of, you know, work in healthcare. We're not providers or anything like that, but we work in medical device sales. So we kind of get an inside peek a little bit as far as the hospital systems. There are literally no ICU beds available down here. I mean, there's like a 30 person wait, to get a bed. You know, right now the ERs have been turned into ICUs. So it's bad. You know, if there's a car accident or something like that, you know, God forbid, you just don't know what kind of care you're going to be able to get or have room for. So it is bad. I hope everybody's being smart out there and taking the precautions that they need to, until this vaccination can come about, or I don't know what needs to happen, but I don't see it going anywhere for the next few months. So I hope, you know, people can just accept the fact that this is going to be kind of the new normal for a while, and we can just do the best we can.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Christmas season.
Yeah, the vaccines are, because the first one that came out, that's great news, like the success rate over 90% from, you know, I think all three of them now, but it's because I was meeting with a physician yesterday, actually in Cedar Rapids. I was back in the great state of Iowa. I flew into the Eastern Iowa airport, and they got these ugly, stupid, like, you know, like the big Psy. I think it started in Ames. They have like the mascot, like statues around. Mm-hmm. And of course they got these, God, they're so ugly, the stupid herky ones in the airport and stuff. I'm like, but I was meeting, yeah, I just tried to get in and out as fast as I could. First off, like the storm in Cedar Rapids, like I hadn't been there obviously, like, and it's kind of come and gone, and you know, all the news and everything we've had since then, it's easily forgotten about, but like blown away at the amount of, like, we drove by, we were just kind of driving through because we had some time before our meeting, and like there was just this big empty lot with just like trees, like just dead trees. And I was like, I was just blown away at how much damage.
It was wild, man. I mean, yeah. I've never seen or been through anything like that. And Cedar Rapids got hit hard.
I know they got hit super hard. Yeah.
And it's been brutal.
Yeah. Cause I mean, the world kind of moves on, but like, yeah, there's still a lot of cleanup that needs to be done. And cause you know, we're trying to minimize travel, but you know, my territory, I cover like 4.5 states. So you know, the guys on our team, you know, that work with me, we, you know, we got to travel to some places and we're in hotels and the hotels have been empty. But I was in Cedar Rapids. That was the first, parking lot was full, hotel was booked. And I'm at the front desk like, you know, it's great, you guys are booked. But she's like, well, it is, but it isn't. It's all construction workers. Yeah. I was like, yep. Oh yeah. Like, yeah.
I had the exact same thing. I stayed in Cedar Rapids for an overnight for work and I had trouble finding a hotel. This was, you know, over a month ago, probably. I had trouble finding a hotel room and figured out that that was the case. There's just a lot of people in town to help clean up construction crews. And yeah, it's crazy all through the Midwest. I know I was in Omaha today for work, was planning on doing it overnight and having, you know, several meetings today and then also tomorrow at different hospitals. And, you know, calling around the meetings that we had set up, a lot of them got canceled because the hospitals have stopped doing in-person meetings. So unless you're quote unquote essential personnel for a case or a surgery, there's no reps in the building. So we did some phone calls and some virtual stuff with the people we needed to talk to and then got out of town. So it made it for a short day trip, which is always nice to get back home. But at the same time, it makes, you know, makes work for work and life for a lot of different people a lot more difficult. So.
Yeah, it does. I just, yeah, man, it's tough, but yeah, try to focus on whatever positives you can find. Yeah.
We got a nightmare call. We got a nightmare call earlier this week. My son's daycare had a COVID outbreak. And so all of a sudden we thought our son would have to stay home for 2 weeks from daycare. You talk about as a parent who, you know, has to work from home or you know, doesn't have an office to go to. And then all of a sudden I'm, you know, potentially thinking I'm going to be trying to get work done with a 3.5-year-old running around for 2 weeks. That was nightmare stuff, but turns out it wasn't his room that was exposed, so he can still go to daycare. Thank the Lord, because I was just trying to think in my head like I would get nothing done with him at the house.
So that's interesting, the protocol. So they just the whatever room, then those kids got to stay home.
Yeah, and actually they just changed it, and who knows if this is right or wrong. It's, you know, based on opinion at this point more than fact probably. But now it's if you can get your kid to wear a mask the whole time, they can be exempt from being from having to quarantine. So yeah, it's wild. And yeah, they're trying to require masks for any kids that are 2 and over.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, luckily Jace, our son is 3.5. He kind of thinks it's cool to wear a mask.
Yeah, that's how Olivia superhero. Is. Or she wears
but
it. Yeah.
There's a lot of kids out there that are just not going to be having that. So yeah. Is that what Brittany did? The daycare workers, but
is that what Brittany did for you? Like, Todd, you're a superhero, and then you decided to wear it.
Yeah, and then I decided to wear a mask. Yeah, that's exactly right. She got me a Batman mask.
Oh, Batman, he's a bum anyway. But okay. All right, so yeah, COVID. Let's get away from COVID. Kansas State football this week. Oh wait, COVID right there, staring us again right down the barrel.
Yeah, right back on top of the list. Are we going to play this week?
You know what? I think I was educated on Chris Williams' pod, which, you know, you're typically not educated when you're learning from somebody from Clarinda, him and Carper. No, I'm kidding. The Stansberry's a Clarinda kid too, I guess. So yeah. Chris and Jared, but him and Bloom are talking about it, how different leagues have different kind of protocols about like what, how many players, because I think the other leagues, the Big Ten and maybe the Pac-12, it's you have to have 56 scholarship players available, or is, you know, whatever certain number, whereas the Big 12, it counts, like walk-ons count towards those numbers. So essentially you have more leeway before you have to cancel a game. And that's probably why the Big 12 has only had, I think, the one game between Baylor. Who was that? Baylor and
Okie State.
December
12th.
Yeah, so we've had fewer games, and maybe that plays into it. But I know Kansas State is right up against that threshold. And another interesting point they talked about on their pod, which I just from my time living in Wisconsin, I've gotten to know some guys that played there and are kind of tied in with that athletic department and the football program, was that like Wisconsin actually met the threshold to play their first game. And I don't know if they, you know, how they could choose not to, but they chose not to. And like Minnesota was in a similar situation. Their first game went ahead and played and got, you know, beat up pretty good. I think they might have played Michigan their first game, but so yeah, inconsistencies all over, but I get it. You know, Wisconsin, they probably only have to play like, you know, 6 games or whatever, you know, and they got a chance to be a playoff team this year.
I saw the same thing for Wisconsin. That's kind of BS in my opinion. Like if you meet the requirements to play and you opt out of the game, like to me, that's the definition of a forfeit. I get we're in weird times and all that, but if the league has put down standards to say, hey, if you meet these standards, you play. If this happens, X amount of people are out, then you don't play, and you have enough people to play. It sucks. You're shorthanded, but you got to play the football game. In my humble opinion, now nobody cares what I think for the most part, but that seems like more of a forfeit. But
yeah, I know we had a lot of contract tracing and COVID issues before our first game. I mean, you call it an excuse, call it whatever you want, but like, if we're healthy and our team's practicing, we got a full roster, we'd probably win that game. But, you know, whatever, we went and played a good Sun Belt team and lost. And I know there's, you know, Wisconsin decided not to play when we played, Minnesota played, and you know, who knows? There's probably, you know, Wisconsin, if they have to forfeit that game, it's not going to hurt their playoff chances.
Yeah.
They're still going to be, you know, whatever the case is, they'll be in the mix as long as they don't lose. So, but yeah, interesting. And, you know, Kansas State, it's a game that, you know, I can remember when we came to school, you know, one of the goals was like, remember that in our first year when it was 03, we were redshirting and Kansas State had just had that run where they had like Michael Bishop and Sproles was there. Sproles, and Robert, they had all those guys and they just would beat us, like Terrence Newman. We just could not, for whatever reason, you know, compete with. And that was when Bill Snyder obviously had the program finally up and running and they were humming. They're really good. But, you know, it just seemed like Kansas State was this, you know, we treated them like they were Oklahoma or Texas or one of these schools that were just in.
That's because they play us like that.
Yeah, and I think full disclosure, we benefited, you know, from the Ron Prince era, you know, and him being there and, you know, Bill Snyder's kind of first retirement or whatever that was, because obviously, you know, yeah, I mean, Ron Prince is, you know, he's a capable football coach, but he's no Bill Snyder. He's one of the best to ever do it. So, you know, we had our success against Kansas State and going, 2-2 against them, right? Yeah, because the first game we played them in, 2004, that was a game where that was our sixth win. That was a fun game because we got behind
we had
early.
A huge fourth quarter comeback.
Big time fourth quarter comeback. Todd Miller caught a touchdown on a slant pass. I remember you ran a snake, which is like our corner post.
Our corner post.
Yeah. Off of our smash concept. And
vastly underthrown. Should have walked
like
in.
Because you're going to run away from a DB.
I will never forget Todd Miller. For anybody who doesn't know, you should if you're a Cyclo fan. Remember Todd Miller. He was about – how tall is he? 5'2"? 5'3", maybe? No, he's probably like 5'8 or so. But just a quick little slot receiver for us. I remember before the game, he said that he didn't like Manhattan. He said he was going to get – he wanted to go down there, catch a touchdown pass, do his dance, and then get the F out of Manhattan. And and I remember in the huddle, Brett called the play. And I remember this has been told back and forth different ways, and I don't remember which way was true. One was that the slant was supposed to go to me, and he said, no, I got it. And then he's told me that he was supposed to have the slant, and he told me to take it. But either way, you threw him a ball, and he went down and got it for a slant for a touchdown. And it, I mean, was probably the turning point in the game for us. He was a stud. Todd Miller was one of my favorite teammates I've ever had. Tough as nails, 5'7" maybe. But I mean, one of the funniest dudes I've ever been around.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's great. But yeah, that was
remember all the nicknames that Coach Grant gave him?
Bat pads and what
else? Bat pads, gobstopper, handball.
Yeah. But that's a fun game. Like, if I think there's something on YouTube where if you can go back and just watch it, because we had, I know we were down like, I think we were down big. And then we had a bunch of turnovers on defense. I remember LaMarcus had a pick six.
Yep.
Cephas forced a fumble. And then we came back and scored on both those possessions. And then
Todd Miller had that catch on the sideline, right? Where he went up and got it. And on our sideline, kind of came down like on his neck. I mean, again, a guy that's 5'7", maybe 5'8". I apologize, Mills, if you're actually 5'9", but
it was probably a perfect throw too. Which
it was a perfect throw for me, but I mean, he went up and got it, came down on his neck on the sideline, just a big time first down for us. I mean, there was a lot of players that stepped up, made big plays, and allowed us to come back. And what did we score, like 28 unanswered in the third and fourth quarter, something like that. And that was the game that got us bowl eligible. So that was huge. That, you know, that was really the start of our career. That was our redshirt freshman year. Yeah, that was a fun one. But K-State's one of those weird teams that they just play it tough. It doesn't matter what our record is, what their record is. It's going to be a dogfight. There's always going to be a few questionable calls. So sometimes it feels like there's three teams playing and we got to beat two of them. But I never feel comfortable going into a week with K-State. I don't care how many players they have out with COVID.
Yeah, we outscored them 28-6 in the fourth quarter.
Is that any good?
Yeah. Yeah, Stevie had a big day, but yeah, that was a fun day for sure. I think Kansas State this year, I think we're favored by the lines up to 10. So that means, you know, Vegas usually knows something. It looks like
which
it's
is
up to
wild.
11.
10 points in this game is wild. Vegas is factoring in all the COVID stuff.
That's the thing. I think Vegas again knows something, and you know, their coach coming out and saying we're like on the brink of it, and they've had injuries, and I think their backup quarterback's playing. I'm just looking at some of the numbers, and you know, they're usually a team that's going to be up in the top half of the league rushing the ball. It's like they're running it. They're running back.
Speaking of short kids, they're the guy who's leading them in rushing and receiving, this Deuce Vaughn, number 22, he's listed at 5'5", 168. Just a little Darren Sproles. I don't know. I'm not going to say.
Sproles.
Darren Sproles wannabe. Darren Sproles diet edition. Listen. But Sproles, you remember what he did to Greedy? I'm sorry.
No, I'm not even going to put that on Greedy. Listen.
Yeah, exactly.
When
nobody
you talk
makes
about, like,
tackle.
If somebody comes up and asks, like, this question does come up from time to time, like, who's the best player you've ever played against, yada, yada, yada. It's like the best players I saw, obviously, Adrian Peterson was number one. Like, far and away, it's not even close. And then Darren Sproles is number two.
Yes.
Like, the best players that we saw.
His ability to make somebody miss in the hole, and I'm talking a hole that's the width of your shoulder pads, and for Big 12, you know, all Big 12 safety to come downhill and not make that tackle. He was so electric. He's one of those guys where as the opposing team, you know, you normally sit on the bench and you're talking about what you're going to do next series and all that. I mean, half the time you want to go stand up and watch on the sideline just to see what he's going to do against the defense. I mean, he was so, so good. That's why I played in the as a 5'6 running back. That's why I played in the NFL for, you know, whatever it was, 13, 14 years.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. He was so good. But yeah, Adrian Peterson was.
Adrian Peterson was a boy. Yeah,
I remember one of our when we played down there. Of course, that was the first game his dad had ever seen him play because his dad had was in jail for a while. So, like, of course, extra motivation, awesome. It was also the last game he played because he dove in the end zone for, like, his 11th touchdown of the game and broke his collarbone. Yeah. He had, like
– he had 900 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Oh, my goodness. But, like, I remember in warm-ups walking out and, like, dude, he's basically, like, my height and just – one of our – like, we had one of the walk-on quarterbacks that traveling that week, and he was, like – dude, that's Adrian Peterson. I'm like, man, because he was back like catching punts. I'm like, look, man, if you're going to suit up and play, like, then suit up and play. If you want to be a fan, like, go back to the locker room.
In your head, you thought the exact same thing, but you just can't, say that out loud. I've told this to other people. Like, I'm 6'5". Adrian Peterson is listed at, I don't know, 6'1", maybe. I swear to God, I looked at him in warmups. I was like, that dude is my height. Like, he looked like RoboCop. I mean,
yeah, he was
arms coming out of his shoulder pad that we didn't have anybody that looked like him.
No.
And he's one of those guys that his most impressive thing about him, obviously size and speed and all that, he'd get hemmed up on a sideline where every other running back is either stepping out of bounds, maybe going to stiff arm one guy and get out of bounds. You could see Adrian Peterson, like, pick out one of the three guys that has him cornered and just say, okay, I'm going to go after this guy. And he would just put his head down and try and truck through somebody. He was the most aggressive, like, angry runner, too.
I remember one day, when Chiz was here, he just came in one day and was like, hey, you guys need to watch this. It was just like the quarterbacks. And he put on, like, a cut-up of Adrian Peterson, like, when he was one-on-one with DBs. And, like, he would literally go headhunting. It was, like, the most impressive. I'm like, yeah, I've never played defensive back. Like, that would be the worst job in the world if you got Adrian Peterson coming a full head of steam at you.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Just the pure fear.
And I was a physical football player. Too,
listen, absolutely. As the quarterback of our football team. Yeah. Just a physical football player.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, back to K-State. I think, this is a game where, you know, I mean, we don't know, you know, I'm assuming we're healthy. We haven't had anybody's going to miss time. If we're at full strength, and I think this is a game where, you know, we kind of got some of the cobwebs and some of the hopefully the bad football out against Baylor, and that was a wake-up call. We were lucky to come back in that game. I think we kind of figured it out towards the end of the first half and into the second half. But, yeah, I mean, we don't need to obviously dig ourselves in that kind of a hole. And because I mean, you look back at some of the years that kind of that we had, and like we had opportunities in 04 and 05 to be in the situation where you control your own destiny, to go to a Big 12 championship game and kind of do something the program's never done, change the direction of your program. Yeah, I mean, do something special. And we obviously, you know, didn't finish, which, you know, I don't really think I don't necessarily think about my career, our career a whole lot now, but like those two games, I still think about more than anything else. For whatever reason.
Before we started recording, like, it's not like I remember specific things from those games so much as I remember just the feeling like walking off the field and just the feel, like kind of the empty feeling of letting such a big opportunity kind of slip through your fingers. I mean, like you said, it was something that our program had never done and, you know, still has never done as far as going to a Big 12 title game. And having a chance and controlling our own destiny was something that, God, you look back on our career and yeah, it's not the individual stuff that you think about, especially with all of our records getting just blasted off the wall at Iowa State. But it's that kind of stuff. Like, man, how cool would it have been at that time? You know, you go down to Kansas City to play the Big 12 title game. How cool would it have been to go down there? And even if we get waxed by Oklahoma, just to say we completed and played the Big 12 title game would have been so special. And we just let it slip away. And here we are again as a program with controlling our own destiny. And it's up to us what you know if we get back to that position. So. You know, I think the program's in a different spot, obviously, than when we were there. And, you know, I'm excited to see what we do the rest of the way here.
Yeah, I don't think we necessarily have, like, I don't know if this will make sense, but, like, there's a lot of guys in our program now don't necessarily have the scar tissue that, you know, maybe some of the guys that we had in terms of – because, I mean, they've – You know, Coach Campbell's been here for what, 3-4 years? I don't know how many years.
What a great point. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, we've won a lot more. And, you know, his mentality coming from Mountain Union and, like, you know, you hate to say it. It's something that's why it's, you know, struggling program. It's hard to get over the hump because you have to build that mindset and build that culture. And, you know, these guys don't care about that. They're like, you've never played in the Big 12 championship. They may not even know that. Like, whatever. We win games, we've been close, and we're in first place. We control our destiny. So hopefully, you know, that mindset persists and these guys can get it done.
That's a great, great point. You have a lot of really bad takes. This is a good one. Okay. I mean, I haven't even thought about that. You know, we had two really good years, our freshman, sophomore years, went to bowl games, had a lot of success, won some bowl games. But even then, you know, the year we redshirted in 03, well, we were 2-10. So even that is in the back of our, you know, the back of our minds of what can happen at Iowa State. The coaching staff, obviously, Mac took over and just a terrible program and built it up to what we were able to experience with the bowl games. But you always have that in the back of your head of where you came from Iowa State. With Campbell and with this staff and with the majority of these players, they've really known nothing but success. They don't have that scar tissue. God, that's a great take. I wish I had thought of that one myself. I don't give you a lot of credit all the time because you most of the time don't deserve it, but that was a really good take. I like that.
Do you remember this is like the only road trip I remember, like in terms of like getting there, you're one of the ones that are more vivid was. So it was in 05, like we played Kansas on a Saturday. So that means we traveled on a Friday. So we took a bus. We flew to most games. We took a bus to this game for whatever reason. And then Nebraska played Colorado. And if Colorado won the game, they won the Big 12 championship. If Nebraska won, we then controlled our own destiny, right? So, and they played on, this is back when, for those of you listening, like Nebraska and Colorado used to be in the Big 12. And that's a big rivalry dating back, you know, years. And they always played the Friday after Thanksgiving. So it's Friday, we're on the bus. And we're busing down. It's kind of like, hey, don't worry about it. You know, regardless of what happens in that game, we control our own destiny. But like, that is literally impossible to do. To say, like you're gonna pay attention to that game.
And we're old, so this is before you could like dial stuff up and
get
at the touch of your fingertips. Like Twitter wasn't around. Even pulling up like websites on your phone wasn't the same as it is today. I mean, this is 15 years ago. God, we're old.
I had a maroon Palm Pilot. Remember the Palm Pilots we had that were like
maybe the best phone I've ever had.
Best phone of all time.
I had maroon. You had blue.
Or yeah, whatever.
I remember the Palm Trio. probably the best phone I ever owned.
So anyway, like you finally like get internet, and it was probably like 2G at the time or whatever it was.
I had my little style it out, trying to scroll down.
Yeah, like you're trying to like refresh the game because Nebraska, you know, was having a down year, but they were like, so Nebraska anyway ends up winning the game late. So now everything changes, like your entire mindset changes. Which it shouldn't, but it's just impossible not to. So I can remember, like,
especially when you're, you know, 20 years old.
Yeah, and like we get to the hotel, and Matt, I think we're staying in Kansas City or wherever, and Matt comes in, and of course he's fired up, like he always was the night before the game, but he's fired up, and I can remember yeah. Coach Fitch coming around, and he's like, "All right, a lot's changed. I understand that," but he's like, you know, trying to keep everybody calm. We came out and played great. Like we were up 14-3. I remember. That was probably the most excited I saw Coach Fitch because we had executed like a double post and I threw a touchdown to you and it was like perfect, you know, protection, everything lined up and you actually caught it. You didn't drop it.
Whoa.
I know, I'm just kidding. But yeah, anyway, up 14-3, but then I just went back and looked at the box score because I wanted to torture myself. And like, I think I was a leading rusher with like 30 yards. I'm just thinking like, it's a game where like you get up early, you want to be able to kind of control the tempo and we couldn't run the ball. And then we let them back in the game. And they were good. They were 2 years away from winning, you know, a BCS. They had a lot of guys. They had Tlaib and
right.
Who's the corner that played forever? Chris Harris, was it?
No, and it wasn't Gino Chris Kukul. Harris. It was number
they had two corners. They had Tlaib.
It was number three before Tlaib wore number three. God, I'm gonna forget his name. That's gonna bother me. I might.
But anyway, they had a good team, and they
come back to it. I'm gonna look it up.
But yeah, I mean, they had a good team, and they just they took advantage of it, and that was their sixth win of the year, so they were bowl eligible. I'm looking for us this year to just finish the deal, take care of what you can take control, and it's almost like you got the name
not yet, but the difference in that is, like you said, you are our leading rusher, and you know, nothing against you being our leading rusher, but think about the difference now. I mean, we have a Heisman Trophy candidate, leading rusher in the nation, best running back in the nation. You know, when all hell breaks loose, you can't get stuff done. You turn around, you hand the ball to 28. You know, we just didn't have that at the time. And not because Stevie wasn't a good running back, Stevie Hicks. Just the whole team, it was a different makeup.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, having that elite rushing attack and having, you know, 28 back there is just
Charles
a huge advantage.
Gordon. Charles Gordon. Yeah. That was the corner. Number three. He played receiver and corner for him. He played both ways.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But yeah,
he got torched in that game.
By who? JD? No. Flynn had five for 120 in that game.
Flynn did?
Against Kansas. Let's see
what that was the game, do you remember? I had a you threw me a ball on a go ball on Tlaib and a jump ball on the sideline that I came down with and they called a touchdown. And then then the other ref came in and waved it off, and we didn't have review. So initially they called it a touchdown, and then the other ref came in and waved it off and said I didn't get a foot down in bounds. Wasn't a great ball, you know. I tried to pull it down on the.
We had 36 rushing attempts, average 1.6 yards per rush.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
you should be able to fall forward enough times to be able to average 2 yards a pop.
Yeah, Flynn had 5 for 120. You had 5 for 86. JD had 3 for 20. Walter Nickel, 2 catches for 19 yards. I remember because we ran A under, and we ran like a
A under. God.
I know this means nothing to our audience, but that was like it's like an old West Coast type play where you have a triangle read and the tight end runs like a 15-yard dig normally. And we called it A under corner because we ran that play so much. And he ran nice. A corner instead of a dig, and we got a big first down off of it.
You know what's hilarious is you say that stuff now, and at the time, I knew what I ran, and I didn't know what the hell was going on the rest of the play for anybody else. And now after, you know, being around football and coaching and things like that, it would have really helped out probably the entire team had us as receivers, or specifically I'm talking about myself, understood the offense more so than just like, hey, here's the play, I know I have a post. But you know,
I think it helps to, it just helps to know, like, if you
understand why I'm running this route. And
I need to, I need to get outside release?
Maybe I'm not getting the ball, but I'm trying
to get the corners
top off
back
and take the safety out, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Idiot receivers, but,
weird.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about something else, because I'm already going to break something.
You want to talk about the Masters? Surely there's some golf fans that listen to this. What'd you think about DJ, Dustin Johnson, one of the Masters?
I mean, he's the best player in the world right now. He just kind of like, I think when he's on his game, there's nobody that can beat him. Like, his best is better than anyone else.
I say that, but then at the same time, you see flashes of, if you can get 18 holes or, you know, 72 for a full tournament, if Rory's on his game, like the top of his game, and doesn't have his blow up holes or his lapses like he seems to do over the course of a tournament, who's better on their A game, Rory or Dustin? I think it's those two.
Yeah, I think it's Dustin, though. Rory, I don't know.
He hasn't right proven now, that he can do it for 72 holes.
Yeah, I know you're probably mad because Bryson.
I am not a Bryson guy. No, I'm not a Bryson guy.
Such a bum.
What an absolute tool shed.
I know, but he did win the U.S. Open, so we'll give him.
Yeah, he's a very, very good golfer, yes.
I know.
Dustin, the Masters thing seems like it's more like validation. Like, everybody's known for 10 or 15 years how talented and how good he was. He's won 24, 25 PGA tournaments. Only had one major coming into this week. Seems like validation. It's like, yeah, everyone knew how good he was, and like, now he's a, you know, multiple major winner. I think he's got, you know, he's 36, so he's got plenty of time to win a few more.
Yeah, he's an underachiever for sure, though. Like, he should have won a lot
Which is wild to say about somebody who's won 24, 25 tournaments and has made $70 million on the course.
Well, that's relative to your talent. I mean, some people
exactly.
even say
and
that
his
about
talent
Tiger.
Is through the roof.
Yeah, like, Tiger didn't – he should have won more, too, but –
Exactly. They say Brandel Chamblee always says Tiger is the biggest underachiever in golf history, which, again, wild to say. But he went through like an 8 or 10 year stretch where he didn't do anything because of injuries and other off the.
Did you see the documentary that's coming out about him on HBO?
No.
So just look up the trailer. I mean, I've read all the books on Tiger and everything. It'll just be interesting. I mean, I'm sure he probably gave them some footage that they didn't have or something. So.
The
Maybe there's stuff in there that you'll
great,
learn.
Like his just personality and mentality, the things that made him great are also some of the things that probably hindered him and hurt him in his career. I mean, he literally trained and thought that he was a Navy SEAL and just
beat up
his body.
Yeah.
I mean, his knees and back and shoulders and everything. You know, he'd go out, run 4 miles, you know, then go hit balls for 4 hours, you know, play 18 holes, hit balls again, go run, and then go play basketball in the evening, or, you know, basketball or tennis. The guy literally just chewed up his body through his 20s and 30s. And probably, you know, as good as his career is, 82 wins and what, 14 majors or whatever? 15 majors now? What was the last one? Anyway, he probably cost himself, but that and the Denny's waitresses.
Look at Tyrese Halliburton drafted for the. He dropped at 12.
That's surprising. I don't follow the NBA much at all, but just from everything I read and everything I heard, it looked like he was going to go, you know, potentially top five and do something crazy. But that's kind of cool. He'll be teamed up with not an Iowa State guy, but he's an Ames guy with Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, I've actually become more of an NBA fan. It's funny because, like, Bill Simmons and, like, what is it, Ryan Russillo. Mm-hmm. I just listen to the Bill Simmons pod sometimes.
Like,
yeah, they do. Like, they're just really good about their NBA stuff. They're really plugged in, and like, just from watching that, and like the free agency and the off season and all that, and they're just really, their conversations around are just really thorough and really good and well thought out, and they're usually kind of spot on. But they actually made me like more of an NBA fan. Like, I don't sit down and watch like games every, you know, but. Mm-hmm. It's nice being up here in the cities. Like, you can just go down and watch a Wolves game if they're playing. They're kind of still the team, like. You just kind of look at the visiting team to see who's coming. Like, oh, okay, LeBron's in town. Like, I'll try to get a
some
ticket.
Stars in town.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, when, you know, okay. When the Warriors were humming, like, we went to a couple of those games. But yeah, man, that's good. It's crazy. He was like, He wasn't even like
thought of a recruiter.
Yeah, he wasn't even like a
he
big
was kind
time
of a, like an also, you know, also added on to that recruiting class.
Yeah,
like,
think about that.
You know,
2 years
they,
later,
they the recruiting class, and he was the guy that was kind of like, oh yeah, we also got Tyrese Halliburton, and then here he is 2 years later. Yeah, I mean that's awesome. Anytime, you know, Iowa State's had a lot of success, you know, obviously on the court for basketball, but then in the draft and NBA wise, I saw Nader just got traded with Chris Paul to the Suns.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means for his future, but I think, you know, he's proven himself to be a worthy NBA player and a contributor at that level.
Yeah, I don't think he's got to worry about, I mean, you never know, but he seems to be like a guy that's firmly entrenched and has a roster spot for a while. He's a good player, but
I don't know these guys personally. You know, Monte I've never met, Naz I've never met, Niang I've met and hung out with, you know, a little bit at some football games, stuff like that. But are there any better ambassadors to Iowa State than, you know, that group of guys? And Halliburton can be thrown in that mix as well. I mean, I love going on Twitter and seeing, like, George Niang just want to fight every, you know, Iowa fan that wants to talk crap in his on his timeline. I mean, for an NBA guy who's got more stuff to worry about to just drop whatever he's doing and just get into an argument with an Iowa fan, I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah, they're ride or die
Cyclones.
Halliburton, you've
loyal
heard, like,
sons forever true.
Yeah, he's like an awesome guy, and you hear nothing but good things. And obviously, Niang and Naz and those guys, they've put it on display for years. Man, we're lucky to have them.
And they ride hard for the Cyclones, so you got to love that.
Absolutely, yeah, man, that's good. So my Lakers are on the clock now. It looks like
your Lakers. Oh my goodness! We have to get started in this again.
I'm just saying, no. I'm. There's not an NBA team in Atlantic, Iowa. So, what I had to grow up with was I was a fan of players, right? So I was a fan of MJ, and then became a fan of Tracy McGrady as my favorite player for a while because we had similar games. And then
tried to sneak that in under the radar there.
What do you mean? Which part?
I played against you growing up. I don't know if you guys had similar games.
No, we're both right-handed wing guys. And then, you know, obviously became a fan of LeBron, who's well on his way to becoming the greatest of all time. He's going to win 3 more rings and call it a wrap. So, anyway.
LeBron,
nothing?
The greatest of all time?
No, we're not going
to. Time to get into the LeBron-MJ debate?
No, we're not going to do that again. That's been worn out. But, no, I'm an NBA fan, man. You got to jump on board.
I need to actually, you know what I want to jump on board? And I've said this on
this, you know, this is gonna be good.
Other people.
Let's hear this.
Well, you're not gonna like this. I need to talk to Chris Williams about this, but I want to be a NASCAR fan. I just don't know how to get started. Somebody needs to give me like a person, like a driver, whatever.
Bubba Wallace. Go for the brother.
I'm in. Bubba, isn't he? He's Jordan. Like Jordan started.
Oh yeah, no, MJ's in. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, Bubba Wallace is my
Michael
guy.
George's
I'm all
team.
In on Bubba Wallace. Then he's an MJ guy. I mean, I need a driver that I can just be like, yep, that's my guy, and just dive into. Because once I like something, like a golf or anything like that, I mean, I'll nerd out and I'll, you know, dig in and Google and watch any YouTube video. I just don't have a guy like in NASCAR that I know anything about. I know nothing about the sport. But I see NASCAR fans, and they're very passionate, and I just love and respect anything where people are just overly passionate and probably more so than they should be, and that's what I want to be with NASCAR. But I need a driver. So
I think
so anybody out there listening, if anyone's listening, just tell me who to be a fan of. Tell me what driver I need to follow.
Chris is like deep into the racing scene. That's his deal. So you should hit him up.
I know if he ever decides to do it like a NASCAR episode, like podcast, I just want to go. I don't want to obviously contribute because I won't be able to. I just want to go and listen and learn. So Chris, if you're listening, buddy, tell me who I need to be a fan of.
I just told you, Bubba Wallace.
Okay, give me a reason why. More than the obvious.
What do you mean the obvious?
Is he good? That's like, is he good?
I don't know if he's any good or not.
He's a stand-up human being. He's a great human being. Is he a good driver? I have no idea.
I don't know. Well, so I've heard people talk about the F1 show on Netflix, and that made them like super big fans of it. So that's like,
I know exactly what you're talking about. So yeah.
So the, yeah, there you go. That's maybe NASCAR needs to do something like that, like a behind the scenes.
I need to just dive in, find a podcast of, and actually the Todd and Line girls were saying that on their podcast, cause they had a mailbag episode, and to send in questions, and Steph's is a big NASCAR fan. So I said the same thing to them, like, how do I get started? She said, just start, watch what you can, watch YouTube videos, listen to podcasts, that kind of thing. So.
Well, I always got a track. Just go hang out with the track.
I think they lost. You didn't sign the petition that Chris Williams sent out? Come on, man. Be a team player. I think NASCAR is not coming to town this year, coming to Newton. So the track's just going to sit there. So that was a big loss for Newton, the state of Iowa, in terms of NASCAR. You're not exactly plugged in NASCAR, I can tell.
Well, I know – yeah, I've never. Can't say that I've watched any races, but I think that's one of those things. My brother-in-law is not big into it, but he's a fan. He's been to races, so it's probably one of those things. Like if you're able to go live, like hockey, you watch a hockey game live. It's fun on TV.
That's a great point. God,
terrible.
You got two really good takes tonight. That's your second really good take. Because
I don't know. I've tried to get a third going,
and I can't really get into it. But I've been to live like hockey games in person. It's an absolute blast. Like it's nonstop action.
Yeah, I went to the last time the Wild, when I first moved up here to Minneapolis, I went to a Wild playoff game. It was a first round, and they clinched it against the Blues. And like, so the hockey where they play is in St. Paul at the XO Energy Center. So like it's the whole, everything around the stadium, a bunch of bars, you walk to it, and it was like a legitimate, like really good time. Same thing with the soccer. They got MLS here. They got like a perfect, nice little, like 25,000-30,000 seat stadium downtown. And like that was, it was a fun atmosphere to go watch like a soccer game.
I hate to say it, but Minneapolis has so much cool stuff going on. Anytime I go up there, I hate driving there. I don't know why, like the highway system, like the exits and stuff to try and get into downtown is an absolute nightmare. But there's so much cool stuff going on. Obviously with all the sports, I mean, they have every major sport. But then, and there's all the little breweries and cool restaurants and stuff they have. Minneapolis, outside of you being there, Minneapolis is a really cool place.
Okay, here we go. Listen. Dang. Warriors fear that Klay Thompson has an Achilles injury.
I saw that on Twitter that he had a lower leg injury, and I didn't hear what it was yet.
See that?
Yeah, that sucks.
If you tear your Achilles, like you did that because it said they're gonna,
you would know.
I was pretty aware of it right away.
Being the proud owner of a fake Achilles now.
It's my Achilles. They just tie it together with like a fiber wire.
For all of our listeners out there that I'm sure know what fiber wire is.
It's just a really hard, wasn't this like a type
suture?
Yeah. It's like a very, I don't know how to describe it, but.
High tensile strength suture.
Gosh, that's a big blow for them. They were all geared and ready to go after.
Because they sucked this year without him. And, well, Steph missed most of the season too, I suppose.
I mean, I'd probably play Steph like half of the year again and just try to – because what's the point?
Who'd they draft? Any idea? That's the one thing about the NBA is rookies can come in and have a big impact right away and really change a team. It's harder in football because they're, such a different dynamic team-wise.
I don't know, man. I hope that's not a killer, that one, man. But it's like I know Kit, like I know Klay or something, but I just don't want to see that.
You feel bad for any athlete that's going through a major injury, you feel bad for. Just because, you and I have both gone through it, and it's such a hard road to get back that you don't wish that upon anybody.
Yeah, but that was like
even Hawkeyes. I don't wish injury on Hawkeyes. I wish a lot of things on the Hawkeyes. I don't wish injury.
Yeah, you don't need to.
All right, you got anything else? That's about all I got on my list of things here I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think we're good, man. Hopefully, we'll. This is, again, very similar to the Baylor game in terms of like – and I'll say Kansas State did play Oklahoma State close last week, but I just think this is a game where with everything they've had going on this week, they've had a ton of distractions. If we're healthy and we got everybody everybody in the lineup, which it sounds like we should, just go take care of business. You know, Brees, yep. I think we can basically chalk him up for about $150. He's going to do his thing. And, you know, hopefully our passing game continues to progress and our defense stays consistent and takes the ball away. And, you know, Mike Grills will probably have another like 7 impact play. He's awesome.
He's so good.
He's so good.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for a game where our receivers show up and really show out for a game. But, I mean, until that happens, hand the ball to 28, throw the ball to our 3 big stud tight ends and play great defense. And that's a pretty good recipe.
Yeah, in my career, I was waiting for one of those games, too, where my wideout showed up. I had Todd Miller, and that's about it.
Okay, I think we should probably wrap it right there.
Just kidding, Todd. You
Brett's had a little bit too much, Cody Rhodes tonight.
I only have one tonight. One Cody Rhodes on a Wednesday night.
We haven't shouted them out for a while. Big, huge shout out to the guys at Mississippi River Distilling Company. I don't know if you can hear my ice clinking around in my glass. I have yet to do a podcast without having some Cody Rhodes poured up in a glass. So. Those guys take care of us. Absolutely the most delicious drink. I'm a big old fashioned guy, so I drink their bottled old fashioned every single episode and many nights where we're not recording. So shout out to Mississippi River Distilling Company and the
Did
the
you say you drink whiskey. A bottle of old fashioned?
Well, sometimes, but I'm a big old fashioned fan, so that's what I always have in my glass. Normally it's just a glass or two while we're recording, not a full bottle, but you know. If we get deep into things, who knows where the night could lead.
Wednesday night. All right. Go Cyclones. Beat K-State.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Go Clones. See everybody next week.
Until then, take care.